sends us. He sends us. Turn your Bibles to John's Gospel, if you would. Chapter 20. Verses 19 to 23. We're going to zero in on verse 21 today, but I want us to read the context of this passage. John 20, 19 to 23. Stand with me again if you would. We do stand here when we read the Word of God publicly, either reading it together or listening to me read the text that we're going to examine for the sermon. It's the Word of God. We don't worship the Word of God. We don't make an idol out of it, but it's God speaking. We want to hear. John 20, 19 to 23. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they had seen the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." This is the inerrant, infallible, all-sufficient Word of God. Let's hear it today. As those saved, to be sent. Blessed, to be a blessing. Thank you. Be seated. I've told you what gone through the last several weeks. If you've not been here, just so that you will know, we've done this four-part series. We have a Savior who shaped us or created us, who sought us, who saved us today, who sends us. It hardly needs to be said from this pulpit to this congregation that our God, the Creator, Lawgiver, Judge, and Sustainer of all that is the sending God. I would refer you to a series of sermons I preached back some time ago, which assert this from the Scriptures. I would simply point out to you this morning, 1 John 4:14, as a demonstration, where John says in his little letter, "We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." God's a sending God. He sent Jesus. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus. What I want us to see today for just a few minutes, because we've already preached some. If we show forth the Lord's death till He comes in the Lord's Supper, we've already joined together in one mind, one voice, preaching the gospel through that. In this verse 21, where Jesus says, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you." I've developed an entire message on that in the past. I would reference you back to that. These are available on our sermon audio site. But I want you to see, just to stir you to remembrance this morning and provoke you to love and good works. First of all, Jesus sends us with Holy Spirit power. He says in verse 22, when He said this, He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit," which, by the way, every man and woman, boy and girl who's been born again, beginning at the dawn of Pentecost, when saved, receives the Holy Spirit. In fact, there is that coming of the Holy Spirit into our lives, which we call the new birth, being born from above, born again, which quickens us, brings us to life, enabling us to repent of our sin and believe in Christ. The gospel is repent and believe. Repent of your sins and believe in Christ. The gospel is made effectual when the Holy Spirit attends that. So Jesus breathes on them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." They are empowered in a way in which they had not been. This is the same group, by the way. Remember, He's resurrected at this point. He's come out of the grave at this point. This is the same group of cowards who ran. And not many days hence, about 40, 35 to 40 days later, we will find this group boldly preaching in Acts chapter 2. There's a prominent speaker, Peter, but the rest are communicating the gospel in this crowd of thousands of people who had come to enjoy Passover all the way to Pentecost, a series of 50 days that they were going to be in Jerusalem. And on Pentecost, the power falls incredibly. The Holy Spirit comes. He sends us with Holy Spirit power. Brothers and sisters, if you're born again, you may tremble, you may quake, you may lose your sense of dignity, balance, whatever, when you're confronted with the opportunity to share the gospel. What I want you to know today, you cannot fail in sharing the gospel. You cannot fail if you stammer, if you stutter, if your words get tangled up, because you have been given the Holy Spirit. We're not called to be capable. We're called to be available. So I want you to see that. He sends us with Holy Spirit power. Secondly, He sends us with apostolic authority. Where else would you find this verse and think it anything but audacious? If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it's withheld. He's not giving so much papal power here, so that we're all little popes. He is giving apostolic authority, that if we speak in the name of Jesus, if we speak according to the record of the apostles given to us in the Scriptures, then there's an attending discernment, not infallible, but an attending discernment that when we are sharing the gospel with someone, real repentance comes through in word and in deed. And when a person lives a life saying they have repented, but they're living an unrepenting life, we have every responsibility to say, as the apostles did to Simon Magus and others like him, you have no part or lot in this matter. You are still in the bond of iniquity. You're in the gall of bitterness. You're not really saved. That's not being judgmental. That's being apostolic. And when someone tremblingly wants to be saved and says, I repent of my sins, but I don't know, will He have me? I've been so bad in my life, that we can say, if you will repent of your sins, you are saved. The authority. You know, Jesus in the Lord's Supper, as we just said, do this in remembrance of me. It was in Luke 22:19 that He said that when He took the bread. Do this in remembrance of me. The same thing with the cup. And it seemed to me this morning, if we're going to remember Jesus Christ, I mean, really remember Him as He wants to be remembered, because certainly He was not saying, whenever you eat this meal, remember me, but the rest of the time you can forget me. No, it's as if He says, this meal draws you back as often as you partake of it. I think that's why some congregations, by the way, take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. I'm not opposed to that. I'm just observing that they read this and they go, dear God, the week presses in upon us. We don't want to live very long acting as if we've forgotten Jesus Christ. But in remembering Him is to remember Him as we live, not just remember Him when we celebrate the meal, as precious as that is. When we live, when we move, when we have our being, when we go out from this place where the church gathered now, we're going to be this church scattered in a little while here. We need to remember Him then. And if we're going to do this, if we're going to follow Christ, then as Christ followers, we must remember His life, death, resurrection, Great Commission, exhortations, ascension, and His return. Think about the whole package. That's why I don't imagine in this place, as long as I have wits about me, that we'll ever speak about the incarnation of Christ without talking about the resurrection. It's the whole package. It's the life, death, burial, resurrection drama. Ascension and return. Hope. If we're going to love God, we need to recognize His love for the Father and His longing to do the will of the Father is what drove Him. I say nothing except what the Father has given me to say. I do nothing except what the Father tells me to do. This was Jesus' description of His own ministry. And He would have us remember Him, follow Him, imitate Him. We're going to love God. We should work at manifesting a longing for His will, a longing to do His will. If we're going to love others, that we need to model a disciple-making mindset ourselves, so that our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who may not have laid hold of that yet may see this and be encouraged by it and influenced by it. And we can therefore, as we are developing ourselves a disciple-making mindset, we can encourage them and provoke them to the same thing through casual relationships, through mentoring, which are a little more formal. If we're going to love others, if we're going to serve the world, then we dare not think we will sit here and wait for the world to come to us so we can serve them. If we're going to serve the world, we're going to serve the world as sent ones, going to people who are far from God, going to people who are hopeless, the down and out. If we're going to serve the world. See, that's what we say. It's our mission statement. It's in our covenant. Follow Christ, love God, love others, serve the world. It's easy to say. It's got to shape our lives, our thinking. Well, that was my sermon. And then Brother Norman Harris sent me a video. And it really just pressed upon me so powerfully. But I want to just quickly share with you because it goes in so well what I'm preaching on today. It's a video from the Verge Conference 2012. If you've been involved in our life group facilitator meetings, host meetings on Saturday mornings, you've seen some of these segments of these great challenging videos. We've played a couple of them here in the context of our worship time. This was a video by Dave Ferguson, though, who's a pastor and an author and a speaker at these types of conferences. And he mentioned what he called the Jesus mission, getting the congregation that he serves to align with the Jesus mission. He described it as this way, in three R's: to reach those who are far from God, to restore God's dream for his world, and to reproduce, becoming disciple makers who make disciple makers. To reach out to a lost world. Go to them. They're all around us. Not so much here. But you move out of here, they're all around us. To restore every person you know, including yourself. If you go back far enough, you had a dream. You had a dream of a life worth living. Somewhere along the way, that got stamped out, stomped on, dismissed, mocked, belittled. You settled in. I would commit to you that when we come to know Jesus Christ, something happens. We find a satisfaction in him that is all-consuming, and yet a holy stirring, a bestirring that lets us know we were made for more than this. There are people all around you and me who are hopeless. They've given up. They're Christ followers that you're going to encounter. I may be speaking to some here that the nature of the circumstances of our society today, our country, where our country has come, so discouraged, so disgusted. Oh, brothers and sisters, let's not let circumstances overpower the glory of the gospel. The truth of the gospel means that we will shine brightest in the most difficult circumstances. To reach, to restore, to reproduce. We're sent ones. As the Father has sent me, so send I you, Jesus said. I'm sending you out, he had said earlier in the Gospels. As sheep among wolves, go into houses. Proclaim the good news. Your feet are beautiful when you do. Blessed to be a blessing. If I were to ask you today, any follower of Christ here, have you been blessed? I don't think there's a person here that would say, well, no, I really haven't. I mean, I've been saved for quite a while now, but I'm going to tell you something. I've come up on the short end of blessings. You wouldn't say that, not if you've been saved by grace through. Now, if a person's encountered religion, a religious person can feel unblessed, but not a follower of Christ. Behold, what manner of love the Father has shown to us that we should be called children of God. And we are. That just makes you want to leap. That reality right there. Blessed to be a blessing. But you know, it's not a new idea. Abraham was told this in Genesis 12. It weaves itself throughout the entire scripture. Look at Genesis 12, 1 to 3. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your kindred, your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation and I will bless you." All right. "And make your name great so that you will be a blessing." Blessed to be a blessing. "I'll bless those who bless you. Him who dishonors you, I will curse." We'll leave that to the Lord to do that. "And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." What a great mission. And we go forth in the gospel tones of that mission to be a blessing. And then I'm going to close with this today. This was a study that Dave Ferguson pointed out. A mission organization sent two mission groups to Thailand with two distinct missions. One group was sent as what they call blessers. They were to go in among the people and seek to be a blessing to them wherever they were. The other group was called converters. Their mission was to go in and to see, by sharing the gospel, how many people they could see come to Christ. After this trial period had been accomplished, they studied the measurable results. There are some results that are not measurable. The blessers had accomplished considerable social good. They had impacted the people in their lives, where they lived. The converters had accomplished not any significant social good. You say, well, how can that be? They were sharing the gospel. Well, here's part of the answer to that. The blessers had seen about 100 conversions. The converters had seen 2 conversions. We've said it here. No, it wasn't original here. But as we enter into 2014, let's remember. People, very often, and I think increasingly, in this increasingly post-Christian, post-modern, pre-Reformation culture we live in the West, do not care what or how much we know until they know that we care. We are blessed here. Bountifully blessed here. Individually, as families. We may be going through difficult trials right now. I don't discount that. I'm not suggesting by saying that we're blessed that everybody's just fat and happy and we're just snug as a bug in a rug and just grinning all the time. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the manifold blessings of God sustaining us through another year. The breath He gives us. The many means He gives us. Blessed. So blessed. We've been blessed as a congregation this past year. We need to give glory to God and praise to God and acknowledge that. We're blessed to be a blessing, though. And see, it's not a choice. You don't say, well, should I be a blesser, or should I be someone who shares the gospel? The answer is yes. Yes. But oh, be sure. Be sure that the gospel we share in word has been saturated in kindness and love for others and a practical demonstration of a commitment to serve the world. Jesus is the one who teaches us this. And He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So it is really a love of God that prompts us to do this. But it's the inevitable outworking of being a follower of Christ. 2014, a new opportunity, a fresh start to follow Christ and love God and love others, serve the world. Oh, I want to be a Christian this year. I want to live like a Christian before my neighbors and my friends and my enemies. I think you do too. I believe you do. May the Lord help us to be found a people acknowledging the blessings of God. but not hoarding them, never thinking they're an end in themselves, but blessed to be a blessing. A fountain flowing in, the river of life flowing in, the Holy Spirit flowing in, that the Spirit might flow out of us to others in the coming days and weeks and months. I know as I speak this, as we've celebrated the Lord's Supper, I speak to some who have not yet come to Christ. I don't know why you have not. But oh, I tell you, He's altogether lovely. He loves sinners. I'm living proof of that. He loves to save sinners. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. If right where you are, you will confess your sin to Him. Repent of it. The greatest sin being not trusting Christ. And then bear fruit of repentance by trusting in Jesus Christ even now to be your Lord and your Savior. And begin this new year with truly a new you, a new life, a new start. That's my prayer for you. As sure as we pray for one another, that we might model before you that our God is the blessed God. He blesses us. And that we might bless you along the way. And that God would use that as a climate for you to be saved. Let's pray. Dear Holy